Support for the Great Quad Cities Listen on WVIK comes from the Joyce and Tony Singh Family Foundation. If you're from the Quad Cities, chances are you've been to Lago Marcino's chocolate shop and restaurant, a fixture of downtown Moline for over a century. Lago Marcino's is more than a long-standing local attraction, however. It's also an American story of immigration, tradition, and family. It's the story of Angelo, a man from northern Italy who crossed the Atlantic at the close of the 19th century to start a family in a land of opportunity. Earlier this year, Mary Beth and Tom Lago Marcino sat down with us in the Moline Public Library for the Great Quad Cities Listen to tell their grandfather's story.
So we never knew our grandparents, Angelo or Luigia. They both died before we were born. And so what we know is what our dad told us, Tom. And Tom, do you remember when Angelo left Italy?
Well, when he came over in 1894, he came to Ellis Island, and he worked as a common laborer in New York City. And he also, besides doing that, he would clean boarding houses at night to get as much money as he could so that he could go back to Italy.
And he went back to Italy in 1902 and married his sweetheart, Luigia, and they came back to the United States.
And Angelo's first job is he bought himself a wagon and a horse, and he filled that wagon full of fruits and vegetables, and he would go down up and down neighborhood streets selling fruits and vegetables. And then he decided, I've had enough of this, I want to open up my own store.
So our Uncle Charlie and Aunt Mary were born in Burlington, and our grandfather then left Burlington, and he kind of followed the Mississippi, and he came over to Moline, and he decided to settle there.
1908.
Dad was born 1915.
So now it's 1921, and Angelo has just bought the Rank Shoe Store in downtown Moline. He sets to work remodeling the shoe store into a soda fountain and restaurant that he calls Lago Marcino's. The store is almost ready to open when he makes a decision that lands the restaurant its famous hot fudge recipe.
There was a traveling salesman who told my grandfather, we've got this recipe for you for hot fudge, you've got ice cream, this would be perfect. He paid $25 for that recipe.
Which in today's dollars, over $600.
Our grandmother, Luigia, was most upset because that was a lot of money, and they really didn't have a lot of money. You know, they were just getting ready to open the new store. But it is the best $125 he ever spent. So anyhow, our grandmother, Luigia, died when my dad was 5 1/2, which left the family in quite a turmoil because they had just purchased the building we were in now and had made all these improvements. And common to what people did at that time, Angelo went back to Italy and courted his wife's sister.
She became a part of the family.
So at this point in the story, Angelo, his new wife Carmela, his sons Tom and Charlie, and his daughter Mary are all back in Moline running the store. It's the early 1920s, and Prohibition has just begun.
They were the roaring 20s. And when you think about Prohibition, if you didn't take your date to the speakeasy, you took him to the soda fountain. So the store was open from 7 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock the next morning. But people would bring in their dates afterwards, and there'd always be a lull, and then my grandfather would bang on the pipes. Of course, they lived above the store.
Yeah.
So if you heard the bang on the pipes, that'd mean the whole family would have to come down and help out. But it was such a fun time. And people used to, it's Prohibition. They'd make their homemade hooch, and they'd bring it into the store, the current downtown Moline store, and they would spike their Cherry Cokes and their Green Rivers.
Yep.
In fact, you would even see on the menu, would you please refrain from adding alcohol to your fountain drinks? And Dad would say that, oh boy, did Angelo get upset when that happened.
Yeah, because they could get, you know, be closed down.
But he was no saint during Prohibition
either. No.
So what he would do is in October, when the Zinfandel grapes were ripe, there would be late night deliveries of ripe Zinfandel grapes to the basement of the Moline store. And that's where Angelo would make his homemade wine.
You can't tell an Italian. They can't have their wine.
Yeah, you know, that's like, you know, that's the water of life right there.
So now it's 1929, and the Roaring Twenties have given way to the Great Depression.
You understand, first of all, you have Angelo coming to the United States, not speaking the language, starting his own business, raising a family. His wife dies. But then you've had the Great Depression. Then you're talking about survival. And Dad was just, you know, he was a boy at that time, and he would ask Angelo, he says, "Well, Dad, how are we doing?" And Angelo would say, shake his head, "Well, we're still open and we still have food on the table." But that says a lot about the business person that Angelo was to keep that ship afloat and get through that depression, that's for sure.
As Quad citizens know, Lago Marcinos survived the Depression and has thrived since then. As third-generation Lago Marcinos store owners, Mary Beth and Tom have spent some time reflecting on what their grandparents, Angelo and Carmela, would think of their success now.
I always feel that we got to know our grandfather through the spirit of the store. And really, we have walked in his shoes.
We have.
That was Tom and Mary Beth Lago Marcino telling the story of their family's immigration to America and the founding of their beloved store and restaurant, a century-old Quad Cities tradition. You can learn more about the history of Lago Marcinos at lagomarcinos.com or by visiting their store in Moline or the village of East Davenport. To share your story as part of the Great Quad Cities Listen, sign up for a time to record at greatqclisten.org. This project is made possible thanks to the Joyce and Tony Singh Family Foundation.